Certainly appreciate the good prayer David led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Max leading us in song as we once again raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. Appreciate that very good reading of the scripture that Alvin just read for us there from Matthew chapter 8. Like to encourage everybody to keep your Bibles open there to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to begin there in just a moment as we take some time to examine our lesson this afternoon titled Compliments from Christ. A compliment can be defined as a polite expression of praise or admiration. And I venture to say that we all like to be on the receiving end of a compliment from time to time, don't we? I venture to say that we all like to have a compliment and be complimented from time to time. But I also venture to say that we would all agree that the value of a compliment is very much dependent upon the person who's giving it, right? You see, a compliment from an evil person would probably mean very little to us, providing the source of the compliment, as would a compliment that comes from anyone who is insincere. However, if we were to receive a compliment from Jesus Christ himself, that would truly be of much value and mean a lot to us, wouldn't it? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine receiving a compliment from Jesus Christ himself? You see, with these thoughts in mind, let's spend a few moments this evening to take a look at five recorded accounts in the scriptures of Christ giving someone a compliment. And let's keep in mind, if he complimented them for the things they did, he will likewise be pleased with us if we do the same. And let's begin there, going back there to Matthew chapter 8, there where Christ complimented a centurion for his great faith. Did you notice as Alvin was reading that for us there that as Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion, he came to him and he pleaded with him. And he said, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And what did Jesus say to him there in verse 7? "I will come and heal him." However, notice there in verse 8, the response of the centurion. He responded by saying, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Think about that. He goes on to say in verse 9, "For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." You see, the centurion, he had an understanding of authority. He had an understanding of authority. He points out that he too was a man under authority. And because of that, he recognized Jesus as one who held great dignity and power. He recognized the authority that he had and the power that he had no limit. You see, we can see that in the text here with his great faith. Realizing that the power that Jesus had and that the power that he had, it had no limit. Jesus said, "I'll come to him and heal him." And the centurion says, "No, I'm not worthy that you come to my house, that you come under my roof. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed." I want you to notice the response of Jesus when he heard it. Verse 10 says, "He marveled." Think about that. Jesus marveled at the words of this man. He marveled. And what did he say? He said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." He marveled at the faith of the centurion. And then he complimented him for his great faith. You see, when I think about this centurion and his great faith, when I think about him recognizing the authority of Jesus and the power that Jesus had that had no limit, I can't help but to think about how we too must recognize that the God we serve, he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he is just and righteous. And we need to be mindful of that, and we too need to be a people who recognize that We too are capable of possessing a great faith if we truly believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Remember the words of the Hebrews writer there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? What did he say there? But without faith it is what? It is impossible to please God. He said it's impossible to please God without faith. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to strive to be a people who possess a great faith. Remembering that without faith it's impossible to please God. And remembering that if we possess a great faith, and that if we remain faithful unto death, what did Jesus promise to give us? That crown of life. Crown of life. We learn about that in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. So let's be mindful of this compliment of Christ to a centurion for his great faith. And let us likewise strive to be a people who possess a great faith that is steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. We also learn where Christ complimented John the Baptist for his greatness. We learn about this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, and Luke chapter 7 and in verse 28. And there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, notice these words of Jesus. He said, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." Think about that. You see, as good Bible students, we recognize that John the Baptist, he was the forerunner for Christ. John the Baptist was the one who was given the task to prepare the way for the Messiah. And John's work was certainly as important as any before him, right? He had the privilege of being the forerunner for Christ. He had the privilege of announcing the Messiah and of even of pointing him out to others. He had a great privilege in preparing the way for Jesus Christ, right? And when you think about the great work that John did and being the forerunner for Jesus Christ, you think about the next part after Jesus said that, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." But notice the rest of that. He says, "But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Think about that. You see, we all recognize the important task that John had as a prophet and as being the forerunner for Christ. And Jesus complimented him for that great work and for the work that he did. And said that there is, among born of women, there has not risen one greater than him. But he says, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Guess what? That includes us. You want to know something? John the Baptist, with the great work that he did in preparing the way for Christ, was commended for his greatness. For his greatness in serving. And when you think about greatness, greatness is defined as the quality of being great or distinguished. And you know, just as John's work was important, our work as Christians is likewise important, right? Just as John pointed others toward Christ, we too have the responsibility to point others toward Christ, don't we? And you know what? If we do that, guess what? Jesus is going to be pleased with us too, isn't he? And I want you to remember something when it comes to greatness. Did you know greatness is in serving? You see, Jesus informs us of this fact there in Matthew chapter 20. Go there with me real quick. There in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse number 26. Again, as good Bible students, we recognize that James and John's mother, she came to Jesus and wanted her sons to kind of sit on his right hand, right? Or and one on the right and one on the left. She wanted her sons to have a greater position, didn't she? But Jesus goes on in the text just to emphasize that greatness is in serving. And I want to begin here in verse number 26 of Matthew 20 with these words of Jesus. He said, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him what? Let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Think about that and be mindful of the fact that greatness is in serving. And let us likewise strive to point others toward Christ, just as John the Baptist pointed and prepared the way for Christ to others in the first century. And be mindful of Christ complimenting John the Baptist for his greatness. But another example of a compliment from Christ is found there in Matthew chapter 26. We learn there in Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, and in John chapter 12 about Christ's compliment to Mary, the sister of Lazarus, for the good work which she did for him while at Bethany. As good Bible students, we recognize that Mary anointed his feet, preparing him for his burial, as we will learn here in a moment as we read Matthew's account there in Matthew 26. But although Matthew and Mark's account does not mention Mary by name, we know that it is Mary, the sister of Lazarus, from the account given there in John chapter 12. But we can learn of this account in those three places in the gospel accounts. But we're just going to focus on Matthew's account here in Matthew chapter 26. And here in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 6, it's recorded. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table." So we see woman, by the way, as we mentioned earlier, we know this is Mary from John's record there in John chapter 12. But she anointed Jesus. She poured this very costly fragrant oil on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? Now watch it. For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached, in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Think about that. I mean, Jesus' disciples, they were angry with Mary for this work, that this good work that she did. But Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Don't trouble that woman. Don't trouble her, for she has done a good work for me." And he even elaborates there in verse 13 when he says, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world." By the way, it's being preached here at Belleville, Indiana right now. And guess what we're talking about? What this woman has done. And what did Jesus say about that? He says it will also be told as a memorial to her. Think about that. What a compliment from Jesus Christ himself to Mary, the sister of Lazarus, for the good work that she did for him while he was at Bethany. And when I think about that, when I think about the good work that Mary did, and I think about Jesus complimenting Mary for her good work, I'm mindful of the fact that we too need to be reminded that, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? walk in them. You see that? You see, we too need to be a people who strive to walk in good works. We need to be mindful of the fact, as Paul informed there in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the fact that our Savior Jesus Christ, He gave Himself for us. Why? That He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Think about that. When you think about Christ giving Himself for us, be mindful that He not only gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, but also that we may be zealous for good works. That's important, isn't it? And it's even more important to be mindful also, as Paul says there in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, when he says in writing to Titus, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly." What was that, Paul? That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And he goes on to tell us why it's important that we're careful to maintain good works. When he says, "These things are good and profitable to men." Remember that as you think about Christ complimenting Mary, the sister of Lazarus, for the good work which she did for him. And be mindful of the need to likewise be a people who maintain good works. But I also suggest to us another compliment from Christ. And that is, Christ complimented a poor widow woman for her giving. We learn about this in Mark chapter 12 and in Luke chapter 21. And going there to Mark's account there in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse number 41, it's recorded, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which made a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" Here we have an example of Christ complimenting a poor widow woman for her giving. And notice in the manner she gave. She gave all that she had. Simply put, Christ complimented this poor widow woman for her liberal giving. And when you think about the word liberality, the word liberality is the quality of giving freely. This woman gave freely of all that she had. And Jesus, observing how these others were coming through and giving out of their abundance, recognized that this woman, she gave all that she had. It says, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Think about that. You see, that impressed Jesus, didn't it? It impressed him, the fact of this certain widow woman's liberality. And when I think about this compliment that Christ gave this poor widow woman for her liberality, I'm mindful of the fact that we too need to be mindful of the need to give with liberality. Paul made that clear, didn't he? In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 8. And we too need to be a people who are mindful of the need to freely give. And we need to give with liberality. When I think about giving, I'm mindful of Paul's words recorded there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. And although we have this example of this poor widow woman who gave her all, we don't have to give all that we have. We don't have to give our whole livelihood. If we don't want to do that, and if we don't purpose to do that in our heart. But we need to be mindful that we have to give, as Bruce mentioned this morning at his talk at the table, as we've been prospered. We need to give as we've been prospered, but we also give each one as he purposes in his heart. As we feel free to give. And we must do so not grudgingly or of necessity. For as Paul says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, so let each one of you give as he purposes his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Why, Paul? Now notice. For God loves a cheerful giver. Think about that. Jesus complimented this poor widow woman for her giving, her freely giving of her whole livelihood. And obviously because of the demeanor in which she did so. And we need to be mindful of the need to likewise give as we purpose in our heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. But we also learn that Christ complimented Nathanael for being one without deceit. We learn about this in John chapter 1. Go there with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to John chapter 1. And again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here in John 1. We're familiar with Philip going and finding Nathanael. And you remember when Philip found Nathanael, what he said to him. He said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." But notice Nathanael's response there in John 1, verse 46. It says, "And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip was a little reluctant about that, wasn't he? Or Nathanael was a little reluctant about what Philip told him, wasn't he? But then what did Philip proceed to tell him? "Come and see. Come and see." And notice verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. And what did he say of him? "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." What a compliment. What a compliment. You see, that word deceit, deceit is defined as distortion of the truth. So to be simply put, what Jesus was complimenting Nathanael for was he was complimenting him for being genuine. He was complimenting him for being one without deceit. He was genuine. And this can even be seen further in Nathanael's response to Jesus after Jesus said, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Notice, fast forwarding down there to verse 48, Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And notice Nathanael's response. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." You see that? You see, Jesus, he knew that Nathanael was a man in whom there was no deceit, and he complimented him for that. And when I think about that, I'm mindful of the need for us too to be mindful to be a people in whom there is no deceit. I'm mindful of what Peter instructs Christians there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. And there he instructs them to lay aside all deceit. And I'm mindful of the words of the psalmist found there in Psalm 32 and verse 2. And there we need to be reminded of the fact that blessed is the man in whom spirit there is no deceit. Remember that. And let us strive to be a people who are likewise genuine. A people in whom there is no deceit. Remembering the compliment that Jesus gave Nathanael for being one without deceit. My friends, we have discussed five people and their characteristics that pleased the Lord that were worthy of his compliments. Therefore, may we all strive to emulate these great examples that we have discussed this afternoon. And may we likewise seek to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we mentioned earlier, without faith, one cannot please God. But we learned there in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if there is one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted their lives in obedience to the Lord and His will, we encourage you to do that this very hour. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, You can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And as we discussed this morning, by doing so, you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as we talked about just a few moments ago, Jesus promised a crown of life to those who remain faithful unto death. Latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour, while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this afternoon who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Maxis Select.